Dear friends in Christ Jesus, we're going to be looking at the gospel lesson, which we had just previously heard read, and it's important for us to do because it really is all about prayer. And and when you really take a look at prayer, what prayer is the central life of the Christian. You know, the past couple of weeks have certainly been busy weeks. And I know for me, as I have looked at the different themes of the, first of all, the National Convention, then the National Youth Gathering and that, it really has been two very solid themes that we've looked at. First of all, the fact that we as the church have been set upon a rock, a solid rock, that one that even the gates of hell will not prevail. And certainly, as we have looked at the way that things have unfolded over the even the past couple of weeks, it's so much comfort to be able to hear that and to understand that no matter what Satan, no matter what the world throws at us, that the gates of hell will not prevail. That God, in His victory, has won salvation for us. That God, by sending His Son to the cross and through His death and His resurrection, has bought forgiveness for us. And that establishes, first and foremost, who we are. And we know who we are. We haven't said it for a couple of weeks. Who are you?
Children of God.
That's right. You're children of God. And to understand that, that's who we are. We are Christians. We are people who belong to God. And because of that, that really nothing this world, that Satan, that death, or anything can throw at us can prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail. God has won. And so we understand and we start that. And then we go to the other theme that we see. The one of the National Youth Gathering. The one that we're going to be singing here in faith alone, in Christ alone. That our lives revolve around Christ. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And that no matter what the world throws at us, the answer is not in the world. It is in Christ alone. Christ is the center of our lives. And so it makes us really think about it is that if Christ is at the center of our lives, should we not be in communication with Him? In other words, should we not be in prayer? And it makes us understand how much more prayer is a part of our life and should be the central part of our life. In fact, if we take a look at what Martin Luther tells us, he tells us this. He says, for a Christian, it is as impossible to live without prayer as it is to be alive without breathing. That's how essential prayer is for us. Because as I said before, it's a busy world out there. Things go on. Just from the simple fact that of being gone, how many other things have happened? We've had two funerals here. Two people who God has called home. How many shootings have gone on? Turkey has went through a coup. It seems that every time we turn on the TV, there's something that distracts us in this life. And that's just what happens in the world. How about in our own lives? How many struggles have we had in our lives just in the past 2 weeks? How many times have we been tired and upset and gotten into arguments with our loved ones? How many times have we gotten bad news because of illness? Or something going on with our bodies. You see, the problem with it is that there's so much that tries to distract us from what we ought to do that we forget about prayer. And that's exactly what our gospel lesson was doing. Is here's the disciples. They've been around Jesus. They've seen Him go off and pray so many times. And yet even hearing Him and being amongst Him, sometimes they forgot. Lord, tell us how to pray. And it's in this prayer, one that we say at least once a week here, if not more. In fact, Martin Luther, once again, quoting him, he says that what we need to do with this particular prayer, we know what prayer it is. It's the Lord's Prayer. We should actually get up in the morning. We should say that prayer in the morning. And then when we go to bed at night, we should pray it again because what it does is it reminds us about who we are, the fact that we are Just wanted to see if you're awake. That you are children of God. And just to remind us of how important and what we should pray for. First of all, we take a look at this text, and what it does is it shows us the prayer as he lays down, and it really gives us three points. First of all, how we should pray, what we should pray for. Second of all, the trustworthiness of God. And third of all, what really the most important gift that he gives us and what it means to us. First of all, we have to look at the beginning of this prayer. It sets the whole tone for it. Just as we said, we are children of God, that we have to realize that prayer is a relationship. It is a conversation. It's like when we sit down with our family members. It's like when a husband speaks to their spouse or when a parent speaks to its child. There's a relationship there, and that's exactly what God wants to have. He starts off by saying, "Our Father." He says, call us our Father, because what he wants us to do is he wants to come to him as dear children, who we are. Just simply to talk, to have that conversation with him. You see, that's what our God does. If you look out into the world, there's no other God that wants that type of relationship with its people. Usually the God is demanding things and calling out and making commands, but he doesn't show love. Not the love that ours has. And we know that he loves us, and we hear that in his voice when he reminds us that he sent Jesus to the cross. His most precious possession, his most closest thing to him, he gave up in order to make us his children. And so we know that, we hear that. Oh, but the problem is we're busy people, aren't we? A lot of times we think that our prayer is a one-way street. That what we do is we just simply throw up the commands and we just, you know, what, God, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want, and then we go on our way. We forget that it is a conversation with our Lord, and our Lord does speak back to us. Sure, it's not that booming thing which we would like to hear, where God all of a sudden opens up the heavens and we hear that thing, "This is my beloved child." But he speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through the Scriptures. The problem is that sometimes what we have to do is just slow down a little bit and actually listen. You see, we're oftentimes like that person. Maybe you've had a conversation with them that they talk so much that you can hardly get a word in edgewise. You hear their voice, but they never hear yours. You see, that's how we sometimes get, even with our prayers. Sometimes we're so busy giving God, telling God what we want, that we forget to listen to what God is telling us. And so we do that, and we look at this prayer, and he starts us out with this: "I'm your heavenly Father. Come to me as a child. Make my name holy. Make sure that you honor me, just like you would honor your parents, just like you would honor anyone who you love and respect. Keep it holy. Don't blaspheme it." And see, that's what we pray for, is that God will help us to do that. Because we know in and of ourselves, we can't do it on our own. That's why the end of the prayer comes back and says, "Forgive us our trespasses and help us to forgive others." Because oftentimes we forget about that. That we can't live up to what God's commands are. We can't live up to what his expectations are. Just like many times as young children, we don't always live up to our parents' expectations. We fall into trouble. We're mischievous. That's the way that it is, because sin is in the world. But as a loving Father looks upon us with his eyes, we ask him for forgiveness. And what he does is he does not withhold it. He willingly and graciously gives it to us so that we know that we can live lives not in fear of our Lord, but in the presence of our Lord. So that we can honor his name. So that when he gives us the very body and blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, that we don't look upon it in shame, but what we do is we look upon it in praise. And so he calls us to do that. The second thing that this text really talks about is the fact that what we have to do as God's people is we have to trust in that word as well. We've all seen those times when we've prayed and prayed and prayed, but things haven't quite gone our way. First of all, the big problem is, like I said before, sometimes it may be just a problem that we're a little bit deaf, that we don't take the time to listen to what God's saying to us. But there are other times, as a loving Father, that what he does is he looks to us and he says, "This is not good for you now." Or not yet. But the problem is we jump to a conclusion and think that because we're not getting exactly what we want, because we're not getting exactly what we prayed for, that God's not hearing us. In fact, that's what he was telling us with, first of all, with this little thing when he jumps to the idea of the friend coming to him. Will he not? Will God not give us all things? Does God not want to give us those good things in life? He gave us the greatest thing, and that was eternal life and salvation. He gave us his Son. But the thing is that oftentimes we don't believe that. And he tells us this story. Jesus tells us the story about the friend who has an unexpected visitor that has come. And he goes to his his neighbor and says, "I don't have anything to feed him. Can you help me out?" And of course, the neighbor, it's past midnight. The neighbor's already in bed. And what's he do? He says, "God, go away. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to help you. Can't you see that we're already in bed?" But he says, "But I have a friend that has come." But in the end, what happens? The guy gets up and gives him the bread anyway, right? Who was the one that was acting badly here? Who was the one that wasn't trusting? We might think at the beginning that it was the guy that comes knocking at the door at midnight. How many of us would be a little upset if somebody came knocking at our door at midnight, right? But it really was the neighbor. Because out of hospitality, the way that it was back then was hospitality required you to help your neighbor. And so, if out of obligation, your neighbor will help, how much more will God give good things who was there and loving and always looking out for you? You see, that's what we have to do, is realize that when God comes to us, that what he does is he always gives us good things. Even though our prayer doesn't seem to be answered in the way that we expect it. There was a guy whose name was Frank Slazek. Probably none of you have ever heard of him. Frank was born in the 60s, grew up during that period of time, saw what was happening in the space race, saw men walking on the moon, and when he was a young child, he wanted to be an astronaut. And he prayed to God that he could be an astronaut. Well, the thing about it was he applied and went through, and unfortunately, because of certain things, he could not physically pass the requirements at that time. So he thought that you know, from the standpoint of being an astronaut, he would not be able to ever do it again. So he went into school and he became a teacher, a science teacher. So that even though that he may not be able to go up into space, to be up on the moon or whatever that was out there, to be an astronaut, that he could at least inspire young people to pursue that dream. Well, as we all know, later on in the 80s, there was kind of a change in attitude at NASA. They decided that what they wanted to do was they wanted to put a teacher in the space shuttle. Well, at that time, they opened it up to all teachers, and there were 43,000 people that had made an inquiry. Well, Frank decided that he was going to do that. Frank filled out the paperwork, got it, and they realized that they had to write a 45-page paper on why they wanted to be an astronaut, why they wanted to go to space, and what it meant for them. Well, as you most know, most people know that most of us are kind of a little bit lazy, and there was about several of them that didn't fill that out. So by the time things got done, the ones that actually turned in the application, there were 11,000 people. Frank put his in. And wouldn't you know, he was accepted. And so they whittled it down to 5,000 people. And they had other requirements that they had to do, and it kept going and going. And to Frank's surprise, every time he was able to pass. And he was able to move on, and finally they got to the final cut. They had chosen 100 teachers to do the final requirement. Frank was there. And so he went through it and everything, and he prayed every day. He prayed. Lord God, I really want to do this. I want to do this more than anything. I want to go. I want to do this. I want this to be a part of my life. Let me be an astronaut. Well, as we all know, first shuttle to have a teacher on it was the Challenger. And we all know that he did not get chosen for that. But as part of it was that when the Challenger took off that day, that the other 99 who didn't make the flight were special guests there at the launch. Well, when Frank found out, he kind of went into a depression. He was really upset. He was mad and everything. He got mad at God, and he started praying. God, you know that this is what I want. It's more than what I want all the time. It's exactly my dream. How come, Lord, you're not listening to my prayer? How come you're not answering my prayer? Well, that day came. Takeoff was perfect. Until 73 seconds into the flight. And we all knew what happened then. It was at that point. It was at that moment that Frank realized that God had another purpose for him. That it was not meant for him to be on that flight. Because what it did is it changed his mind and his attitude, and he understood that God had a plan for him. And even though we may not have heard about him being a famous astronaut, he goes around today speaking to people, telling other Christians, bringing people to faith, telling them and explaining to them how God sometimes, even though that it doesn't seem like he's answering his prayers, our prayers, that what he does is he makes all things work for the good of those who love him. And that it was not his purpose, that his purpose was to go out and speak about God's truth and God's love. And he's spoken to thousands of people. And because of what he's done, people have come to know Christ and Christ's love. Kind of pales in comparison to being that famous astronaut, right? Because he really realized that God's using him to bring life. And so that's what we have to realize and remember. As God's people, he does. God, he uses us. And that even though our prayers may not go the way that we expected, that God has a purpose and he uses us and he takes us to that point. And so we just have to trust in his fatherly love and goodness. And then, of course, the final point that we make here is the one it says in what we just sang about in our sermon hymn, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." It's in order to remind us that when we seek God first, when we seek Him first, that it's all about doing that. It's about seeking God, and He will give us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that guides and directs our hearts and brings us into those things that we need to do in our lives. A lot of people say, well, if I ask, you know, knock and it'll give it. If I just simply ask, God will give it to me. No, what we have to do is ask in a way that's to God's will. And so that goes right back to the prayer in which we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You see, in the end, what the Holy Spirit does is it's not about our will. It's not about whether we want to be on a space shuttle or we want to drive a race car or we want to have a big fishing boat or whatever it is. It's that what our will then becomes God's will. It's in God's will that we do our and live our lives. Living a life of prayer, being in communication with Him, so that we may take that word and share it with our neighbor, with our friends, with all who are around us. Yes, even those who would hate us. That our will be with God's will. You see, that's what it is. Because the reality of it is this. If we hear God's will, God has but one will. And that's all people be saved. And if we seek God's will, then those things of this world, the busyness and all that stuff, would be shoved to the side. And what would be important is that I just simply tell you, Jesus loves you. Believe in Him. Christ died for you. Let me tell you about Him. You see, that's what seeking God is about. So as we live our lives, as we go into our busy days, let us remember to take that time to be in communication with God, to talk to God. Remember that prayer is the most important thing, and that's what He brings to us today. So go out, talk with God, for you are all His beloved. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds centered and focused on Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.